Are you good now?
I've always been good.
Welcome to episode 119 of Crippled System. I'm 25% of your host, Nathan Hoffman.
I'm Brian. Super exciting.
Boom!
I'm well, Andy. Actually, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm Brian. Yeah. There we
go. You're Bertuin.
Okay.
Brian. Bertuin. Yeah.
In true privateer fashion, we have to fit in the name, the actual spelling, or the sounding of the number with the word.
Speaking of Roman numerals, a legionnaire walks into a bar, holds up two fingers, and says, "Five beers, please." A legionnaire walks into a bar and says, "Bartender, I'd like a martinis." And the bartender says, "Don't you mean a martini?" And he said, "If I wanted two of them, I would have asked for it." Latin! Those are my only two legionnaire in the bar jokes. Martinez Coral!
Just figure we have to...
It's sinking.
My name is Brian.
My name is Andy. Done.
Andy Dunn?
Andy Dunn.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
All right,
we're out. See you next week. Thanks for coming.
Announcements.
August 22nd-ish. Wait, what's next month? July.
We should probably go in
July
order.
July 25th.
Yeah. No, we should still go in further
July
order.
July 7th.
No.
11th?
11th.
July 11th.
God damn it.
One of those lucky numbers.
July 11th. Who's the boss?
It's Angela.
Pegasus Games. 50 points. We still have space limited?
55 points. Don't want to get it,
no, it's 50 plus 5.
Okay.
So it's 55.
I don't want people showing up with 60-point lists going, Brian said it was 55 points. Just follow the rules that's in the pamphlet.
Yes. Which you can download at www.whoa.com.
Whoa. Angela. Whoa. Are you the boss? So, am I the boss? Not to confuse anybody.
Apparently Joey Lawrence was in my version of Who's the Boss?
Jesus. Whoa. not to confuse anybody, but there is actually two Who's the Boss events that's happening in Madison, Wisconsin on July 11th. If you're at Who's the Boss with your War Machine Army and there's a boxing match going on, actually it might be either or.
Yeah.
But if there is an actual boxing match, like where you see a boxing ring, you're at the wrong Who's the Boss.
Interesting trivia. I've never seen an episode of Who's the Boss ever in my life.
I watched so much of it growing up.
I was always a Charles in Charge man.
Alyssa Milano is the same age as me, so for all my life, I've masturbated so much to her.
See, Christina Ricci was right there for me.
Yeah.
You could have kept that.
I saw, like, as, like,
well, it was obvious, but I figured I'd throw it out there.
Everybody's masturbated to Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
I hope she knows that she is in Galaxy, or Guardians of the Galaxy.
What?
His ship is the Milano. It's named after her.
Oh, okay.
So I hope she knows that.
Just thought he liked the cookies.
No. Yes.
They are tasty.
I bet she is.
Her cookies are probably pretty good.
Brought it all back. Andy. So there's a boxing match?
Yeah, there's a boxing match.
Called Who's the Boss?
Called Who's the Boss. I walked out of the pizza pit that was next to Pegasus. And, they had a big advertisement of Who's the Boss, July 11th. I'm like, what?
Free advertising.
Wow, pizza pits all up in this junk.
Yeah. And then I looked, and it was a boxing match.
You should have got a flyer, put your flyer next to their flyer. That's what I would do.
I think the only way people would fight in a War Machine Who's the Boss is if they both spun jackpot and were fighting over Shay, maybe.
Or actual boxing.
As Convergence player, I get an erection when I get Ashlyn. Because that stat line's pretty sexy.
My favorite is somebody with Convergence actually ended up with Harbinger and Risheth in the same tournament.
Yeah. That's not a lucky player.
That was not a lucky player. Dominator Risheth is the worst of all the casters to take.
Yeah.
Or to get as Convergence.
It's like Matt 1.
Yeah, Matt Rat 1. He's Matt Rat horrible. He's Matt Rat
I'm honestly surprised they did that because... like a lot of, like, you look at units that don't even have guns, and they still make them like Rat 4, mm-hmm. you know, pointlessly. Like, I'm just confused he isn't like Matt Rat 5 with no weapons. Because, well, like, why do Stormblades have like Rat 4? They're never shooting anything.
Yeah.
Maybe someday there'll be a thing and they're just prepared for it.
I'm guessing that Risheth doesn't get out much.
I mean, that's true. I understand. I'm just still surprised.
It's probably the stability of his platform there. I can't imagine those agonizers can hold him completely still. That's where the rat one comes from. Like, one of them sneezes and it's all
screwed.
Just have
inaccurate.
Yeah, there we go.
Like, have him be like Rat 8. Like, he'd be Kane if it weren't for the fact those goddamn agonizers can't hold him steady.
Nope. He should be, like, having the drunk ability that Borka has. So if you hit him in combat, he just stumbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems fair. I allow it. July 11th.
July 11th, who's the boss? Still places available.
Yes.
Then July 24th?
25th. 14 days later, math.
Yep.
Is the third six-pack event, which is a Theme Force 50-point event.
I sure hope I manage to get my Convergence coin again.
Everybody I know that's playing, when they make Theme Forces, their main priority is, how do I kill Doom Reavers or Iron Fang Pikemen? Because obviously, Jordan Bouchois.
Or deal with Body and Soul.
Yeah. Those are, yeah, but I mean...
But in Madison...
Yeah.
Travis
will
find a way to lose, Jordan won't. So, I mean...
True.
Poor Travis.
Bouchois... plays those all the time, not even a theme. I told him I was going to have a non-theme force event just to block him.
He's actually kind of I don't know how much of it was joking, but he was kind of angry at me because I suggested a list that I knew he would like that isn't a theme force. It's his style of, you know, not subtle, like just this will get it done if you shove it down somebody's face hard enough,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
he's a fan of, and you know he doesn't apologize for that. The way he equated it to me is like if you look at Princess Bride and you have like the sword fighting scene on top of the cliff, that's how I like my games to be. He likes the when his head comes around the corner, throw the rock at his head style, because it's not very sportsmanlike, but it sure is effective.
He wants to be the Terry Crews walking down the hall with that gun from the Expendables.
Yeah, the fully automatic shotgun.
Yeah, that's what he wants. He
it
just
gets
wants
the job
to,
done.
Just walk down the hall with that. That's
I
what
still
he thought
he kind of stops and just turns and watches and goes back to fighting. Just like this pause, like, that's just happening over there. I'm glad we're not over there. Okay, let's go back and punch
Man,
each other
I
in the
face. I need to watch that again tonight.
They're a third of the Expendables movies are good.
I'd say a third and a half. Third and a quarter.
Is the third one okay? I have not seen the third one.
Nobody has seen the third one. It's irrelevant
if
it's
good.
I saw
it because the bad guy's cool.
The bad guy's cool?
They do.
I like
Mel Gibson does a great job as a bad guy. The movie's not good. I'm not going to defend the movie. But it's a shame that Mel Gibson did that well in a movie full of shit.
Oh, damn. Because I kind of like the second one. I did like Van Damme. I love the fight between Van Damme and Stallone.
The second one had the too much catchphrase commentary. But I like parts of the second one.
Also, I hate Walker. What's his name?
Scott Walker?
Well, him too. Also, anyway. Fuck you, Scott Walker. No, the other guy. Texas Ranger.
Oh,
goddamn.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris is the worst. He's a terrible person, and he's not a good actor, and his movies are terrible, and he's not funny, and the Chuck Norris jokes aren't funny, and everything about Chuck Norris is terrible.
They
and I
started
hate him.
Out as Vin Diesel jokes,
and
they
were
turned,
good then.
Yeah, they turned into Chuck Norris jokes.
But the point is, I just hate Chuck Norris and everything about him. He's not even ironically entertaining to me. And he was in them, and he was terrible in them. Because all he did was show up and say three Chuck Norris jokes and then leave.
Yeah.
There was one joke in there that I thought was...
I like the Cobra joke.
Yeah, I can't remember the Cobra joke.
Which I read 700 times on the internet previously.
Yeah, but
having
Chuck Norris say a Chuck Norris joke is pretty good. I've never seen that happen before. So I appreciated the Chuck Norris Chuck Norris joke.
It was he was once bitten by a Cobra, and after five agonizing days, the Cobra finally died.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ha-ha. It was great. Again, I'm not going to defend the movie because it's not defendable, but I like moments of it.
July 25th.
July 25th, who's the boss is the 11th, and the six-pack is on the 25th. And just, now, the last event, I think it went well. I mean, we started at 10, and there's like 10 minutes between rounds, so it's like a nonstop marathon game of War Machine, but we got done in time.
See, I had a lot of big breaks because round 2, I got assassinated like 12 minutes into the game, yeah. And then round 3, I had a bye.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So if you're coming to one of our events, do think of list creation. Try not to take a huge attrition list? I mean, that would probably be...
That's fine if you don't mind not eating.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if you're... Yeah.
Like, or bring a bag lunch.
If you can play for 13 hours straight, bring whatever list you want to.
One of the raffle prizes for everyone who completes the event is going to be... I'm giving away one of the Haley 3 kits that came on at Lock and Load. That's one of the random prizes. On top of everything else, I normally give out these things, but that's a special prize. The winner of the six-pack is going to get the 50 anniversary.
10th anniversary?
5th. I made a 5th. I just took a model and just came up with 10th anniversary Hordes box goes to the winner of the six pack. There'll be other prizes as well, but that's just like the new, that's just I'm announcing the overall prize, which is going to be like probably, if we keep going the same way, we're probably going to have between like 5 and 10 people that have been fighting for that pretty hard. So nice little prize to the winner.
I used up my bad event.
Well, there you go.
I went 2 and 3, including having a bye.
It's
not a good day.
There's an event coming up in... Waukesha, so, too. They moved their new store, but I was trying to find the date, but I can't find the damn thing.
It's August 22nd is the 4th six-pack. Theirs is 1 week before, so it would be the 15th, I think.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say
at first. It's at Waukesha. I think it's 50 points.
Yeah, two lists 50 points, or Steamroller 50 points if you want
to
play.
Should be a fun event.
Yeah.
New location. I'd love to see what food places are around it.
Pat's Rib Place is supposed to be amazing.
There's no Fazoli's.
There's no Fazoli's, but that's okay.
But Rib Place, if it takes too long. I like a nice In-N-Out for lunch.
Oh, I'm talking about, like, when I get done with an event, I'll always go and, like, I'll go to a bar or something and get shit-faced and then head back home.
Yeah, well, see, that seems, as long as you're not driving, that seems like a good idea. But
it's like a bet. Can Brian get us home tonight?
Well, let's move on from that topic.
New conversion policy.
Yes, new conversion. Yes.
Yeah, that'll be legit.
Evidently, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Pretty much. I mean,
the biggest change was the previous conversion policy was the model had to be majority the model was representing. Mm-hmm. So if you were making a Butcher 3, he had to be made up of at least 51% Butcher 3. Yep. Now it just has to be 51% Privateer Press Bits. That's a huge difference.
I think there was something about it couldn't be confused as the... version of
That's not a change. Yeah. Like that's the biggest change. They'd already you can't have like iconography and stuff like that that's protected intellectual property. Yeah. You know, it can't just be a proxy. It needs to not be confusing. Oh, and I guess that is technically a change. Previously there was the whole conversion policy, and then there was an unwritten rule that everybody lived by, which was if it was not confusing, you're fine. You know, and everything else kind of doesn't matter as long as and that's now actually in there as a written rule. It's no longer an unwritten, understood rule.
Well, and one of the other big things about that conversion policy too that changed was one of the things that I noticed was that if you want to do a conversion on a model that has an upgrade kit, the entire upgrade kit has to be present on the model. Mm-hmm. And then the other part was
that was in the old one too.
Okay, I just must have not seen it. But the other thing that I noticed was. With them saying as long as the weapons are well represented on the model, your conversion, as long as it's recognizable, can pretty much fly. So that means that for those people who have, like, extreme insert model here, they don't need to worry about going through the whole, like, identification process with the TO. Like, I got an extreme Moog that's a Mauler, but he's got his club and his fist. He's good to go.
Yeah.
So... That's a good deal like that. And then they brought up the extreme behemoth because that seems to be
that
the one.
Was technically illegal before. Mm-hmm. I mean, no TO ever was going to not allow it. Yeah. But because an extreme behemoth was, you know, 90% a juggernaut,
mm-hmm.
It was not mostly the behemoth. It was illegal. Now, since it doesn't have to be majority of the model, it has to be majority privateer press bits. That's legal.
And Jordan
now.
Made up 2 victories this weekend because he's basically because he knows he's the one.
He was making them under the assumption they would be illegal.
Yeah.
And so I knew this was coming, and I was waiting, and that's why when it dropped Thursday morning, when I got to your place for board games, the first thing I did was go to Jordan. I was like, "Did you see the news?" Because I knew he'd be happy about it.
Yeah. He's got both of his victories ready to go.
TO still has final say though.
Yeah.
I mean, if it comes up to be something that is kind of skirting the line in
a
sense.
It would be really hard to make something that is illegal from this thing that doesn't suit the golden rule. Like, if you have something that's not confusing and is easily recognizable, I mean, that's the golden rule, is if you can walk up to somebody and just say, what is this? And if they can go, oh, well, that's Laris, you're good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all that matters.
Actually,
because,
that was Risheth.
Well, then you're... What? Yeah, I mean,
give him a beard.
The only rule that is in the privateer press conversion rule that isn't really implicitly just part of that golden recognizable rule, like the weapon for weapon swap, it's part of that golden rule, you know, and the upgrade kit all being present is to facilitate that golden rule. You know, the difference between a Reaper and Malice is the souls coming off his shoulders and his and the weapon too. But I mean, the souls is a big part of it. The only one that isn't part of the golden rule is the mostly private to press bits, and that's because they have to feed their families and have houses that they pay for.
Yeah,
like let's be honest, you know, if you just buy a bucket full of random bits from your, you know, your game store for a nickel a pound and just build an entire Krix army, that doesn't help privateer press.
No. Well, whatever. Were you saying like buy Necrons and make Krix?
I wasn't specifically saying that.
No one would do that.
No.
But I mean, that's
the But age. Actually, that almost, well, besides the icon, if he didn't have, like, the symbols for the Necrons on there, they could actually be legal under this new rule.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it
I think majority of the models are actually privateer models, though. He's got different heads. Yeah. And I think if he didn't have some of the symbols, like, I know Necrons on their chest plates have got, yeah, you know, like the little circles and that for the Necron stuff.
And so it becomes kind of sticky. What is iconography? You know, what is an Egyptian robot skeleton? Like, you know that that's a Necron, but does that mean that it's iconography, that it's the intellectual property of Games Workshop? You know,
very true. Yeah,
and
I mean,
so it gets kind of sticky there.
And honestly,
I'll show you sticky.
And honestly, you look at the original, like, Necrons, they were basically Terminators.
Yeah.
I mean, they were T-800s,
yeah,
pretty much. Don't fucking touch the mixer.
As soon as I press the button, it was flashing.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Andy.
I don't have the other card, it turns out.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least I can...
I have a Dahlia for you, but
so
I don't know where it is.
Do we have our... So we have an actual topic. Topic number one.
Okay, yeah. We're
done?
I guess so.
I was bored of that conversation.
Announcement, if you're gay, you can get married. America took one more step out of the 1300s. My favorite thing this week, and I know it's been a lot of people's favorite things, so I'm not unique in saying that this is my favorite thing this week, has been stupid people that have been like, this is bullshit. I'm sick of America. I'm moving to Canada.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to do some research.
Yeah.
Idiot. It's like, it's too hot here. I'm moving to Central Africa.
And the next topic.
Yeah, because gay marriage has been legal up there for like the past 10 years,
yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah. And socialize. So, and they're like, Obamacare, fuck that, I'm going to Canada. They have free health care and have for like 50 years.
Yeah.
Like, you idiots.
Now I'm pulling up the topic coming up next.
Yeah.
I came up with
there was nothing political there.
All right.
It's a fact. You can get gay married, and it's a fact. People who think moving to Canada is going to somehow not have them live with gay marriage are idiots.
Yes. I can't. Yes.
Did you say I penis?
Yes.
Yes. Is that like I Robot, but the porno parody?
Oh, yeah.
What are the three laws of penis botics?
Penetrate.
Okay, you got it covered.
That's just one law repeated.
No, that's like location. No. Are the three laws of...
It's law number one, penetrate. Law number two, penetrate. Law number three, go to one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah, that way the circle's complete.
Yep.
Now, one of the things that I thought of over the week is with the Madison six-pack tier event coming up, I thought it would be fun to go over some of the factions' tier list that people
theme force.
Yeah, theme force, sorry. I made sure to I sent that in the message too. I said theme force because I know everybody would jump all over me otherwise. Jeez. But it's blood, sweat, and tears.
Blood, sweat, and themes.
Blood, sweat, and themes. So I thought it'd be neat to go over the ones
that
aren't
very
like,
punny.
I thought it'd be fun to go over the ones that are not very prominent in the game, like, but you don't see them a whole lot, or and they're maybe underutilized, or just like, since, you know, it's not Runes of War or Body and Soul, you know, it doesn't.
I think it's also because the reason why you sometimes don't see these themes is they're tied to a caster that you just normally don't see in general.
Yeah.
Like I, to kind of start off the subject, I really like Zerkova's War Room or No Quarter theme.
Yeah, the
where you can take vanguards. Yeah. Vanguards in the theme. But I've never seen it on the table.
I do, well, because nobody played Zerkova.
Exactly. So
I do wish that the tier 4 benefit of that was that the vanguards became Arknotes. Because I think that would make people play her slash it.
I'm waiting for something like that to happen where they affect a card like that where they actually become an Arknode for her. Mm-hmm.
The thing with that, I think the big deal with that tier list is, and maybe it's a reoccurring... Theme Force. the thing that's the problem with Zerkovas in general is, and maybe it might be a recurring theme throughout all these other ones, is there are certain things that she really wants to take that she can't have in that list, and I think Silas is the big one there. Like, can't have Silas, that's kind of tough. Like, because with that, it makes her effectually, a Focus 9 caster for casting spells? Kind
of
like how
Agents of Jord doesn't allow the Commodore.
Yeah.
It's a Shay list that doesn't allow the Commodore. It's
it
like,
should be special issue, but it is what it is.
Well, it just should have been in the theme force. Allowable units should have had Commodore cannon and crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of things that don't make sense, maybe from the way that a player would look at it compared to a designer.
Right.
But one of them that I was thinking of that I wanted to kick off with, because I'm for at least this year, I'm a diehard troll player, even though I played Crix last night, but don't tell anyone.
You are thinking outside the box. This last event you ran, I'm trying to remember, what were those two things you ran?
It was a tier list that nobody's really
heard
of.
Oh, sure, yeah, that's right. You pigeonholed yourself, you were going with theme forces.
Yep, theme forces. Yeah. I had cramped myself there. Yeah. I wanted to restrict what I could bring.
Yeah.
Just rune shapers and light war beasts.
Yeah. Those are, I mean, you didn't bring...
There might be something happening again next event, too.
Yeah.
But they just happen to fit. I mean, I do what I can. But this one, actually, I thought about running this. I picked out Hunter's Grim or Grim 2's hunting party theme force. And I think it's one of the things that makes the list really interesting is that the scouts or Trollkin scouts are allowed to ambush. I guess I'll just go through the requirements real quick. So it kind of hamstrings you as far as what you can bring. You can bring non-character war beasts, pig bushwhackers, thumper crews, highwaymen, scouts, and sluggers, which I don't think exist really, but
they are terrible.
Yeah,
yeah. The problem I have coming from a former troll player is that it has thumper crews and sluggers.
I don't mind thumper crews. I mean, they're slam gun.
They're expensive for what they are.
Well, that's one of the first things about this tier list. It's a good segue.
Theme force.
Theme force. God damn it.
I can't tell who's right. I don't know which one he was right and wrong. I can't tell who's trolling who.
So, fell color solos are the only ones allowed in here, and you can't take a battle engine just to round it out. But thumper crews are expensive for what they do, but the very first part of this, as long as you only include models that are on that list, they drop the point cost by one, and then for every one you add, you can get another one. It's not like the biggest deal in the world, but being able to take them for 2 points, I like them a lot more than I do at 3 points.
Does the loader have a gun?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I haven't really played them that much because I'm not a Gunbjorn player. But I think that's the only time I ever see him. But tier two on this one is if you control the one. This is probably my favorite part of the theme force is if you have one or more Trollkin scout units, Trollkin scouts can ambush. And the problem with scouts, like they do advanced deploy on like normally, so that's fine. But they don't have wounds and they're 13-13, so they die before they get to do anything. But if you keep like two scout units off the table at the beginning of the game, you can kind of do what Grim likes to do, or at least the list that I design likes to do, and kind of funnel things in with the threat of those guys from the side, because with throwing weapons and on feet turn, like they can threat pretty far, and they have assault, so they just have these whole host of rules, but I think it's their survivability that pulls them down, and tier two makes them interesting. And then the three and four they're just kind of like icing on the cake, so I did go full ham on this one and go to tier four. But if it has three or more light war beasts, they get advanced deployment. I know somebody who does that better, but I won't talk about that here. Then tier 4 is if you have one or more pig bushwhacker units, your deployment zone is pushed 2 inches forward. And bushwhackers are kind of like a liability. They're just not that great. But the cool thing is like, if you're putting highwaymen and bushwhackers in that same list, you get like two laser beams. It's kind of neat.
Right.
Because they have CRAs, so... And at 14 inches and then 18 inches on feet turns. So it can get pretty nutty if you're trying to, like, take out that one target or just, like, kind of pick things off here and there. So I didn't want to go into, like, every list ever, but I thought this one was kind of fun. So it's Hunter's Grim, a Troll Impaler, a Slag Troll, a Storm Troll, and then an Earthborn Dire Troll for the battle group. So he's got a pretty thick battle group. And then two scout units, Highwaymen, Bushwhackers, and a Thumper. So I figure the way it would work is just, like, the Light Warbeasts kind of do some early work, and you can shoot whatever comes towards you, and then once you get the meaty targets, you can start throwing that Earthborn in, and that's when you can start loading them up on Fury. I just thought it was a neat list, and by no means is it going to be, like, meta-shaking or defining, but I think it's an interesting list to play that brings some cool things to the table. Well, if
you change things up and your opponent's not prepared for it, sometimes it can still cause some chaos.
Yeah, like, what... What unit? I think the only unit I can think of out there that ambushes that people actually put on the table are maybe like Striders.
Bog Trogs.
Yeah, Bog Trogs, because they don't have a lot of access to others, I guess.
Do you know the best counter for Bog Trogs?
Bog Trogs.
Bog Trogs.
Boom.
So yeah, that was my first theme list that I thought could use some extra attention, or, you know, it's actually pretty cool. I think it's neat. Grimm's a good caster, and the list seems to support the tier list or the theme list, theme force, well.
One theme force that I played a little bit earlier this year that I like a lot that, you know, doesn't see a lot of play is Gartu's theme force with the Sitiscus Raider shenanigan going on.
Isn't that you made that list and I wanted to punch you in the throat.
Yeah, I played it to the extreme version where, because I mean the theme of the list, it's called Merchants of Death, and basically it's just Scar and Sitiscus models, and then not any non-character warjack. Like, if I had the Deathjack, it'd be, like, tuned up to 11, but... Because Scar loves the Deathjack so much. But basically, literally, you only include Sitixis, no battle engine, and the non-character jacks. Raiders get FAU, which is part of the fun. And then I think for every Raider Captain Solos, get a plus one for every Raider on the table, so you have basically as many Raiders as you can afford. Tier 2, you get a second unit of Raiders, gets a free UA, and the UA makes that unit really good because obviously plus 2 defense from guns and immune to blast damage, so now you have 2 units that can do that, and one of them, and you get, once again, Weapon Master.
Yeah, the power swell is nice.
And it's free, so you're up 2 points, which is nice. I typically only go to the Tier 3 for the most part, and the Tier 3 is automatic because you're taking the Blood Hag anyway because it's a Styx's thing. So you take the Blood Hag and either a mid-max unit of the Blood Witches because they're universally fun. Trolls love them. Yeah. They love losing all those abilities. Tier 4 is neat because if you have 2 heavies, you actually get 2 inches to your deployment zone, which is really nice because it's the jam list, so having 2 more inches and you're jamming is really nice. Yeah. I have a four unit version of it where I have like 1 jack, and then when I go with the way I want to try in the future is actually 3 units, and I have 2 of the jacks that are out. Yeah, I think they're the Inflictors, the Shield Guard jacks for Crix. But they're the mythical jack that might come out, you know. They're only like 15 months after the book or whatever. So they'll come out in, you know, maybe 2 years after the book they're
read. Like the Dusters.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, but it's just fun because you have, I mean, if you play, and obviously it's not, you know, universal draft. It's a very specialized spam list. But I mean, I have multiple times played in a tournament where my opponent only had 1 list and it's been all jacks, or it just forced your opponent not to play like their double colossal list. I mean, double Stormwall still fucks because of the, their clouds aren't blast damage, but a lot of colossals just can't be put on the table because you will destroy their caster.
Yeah, backlashes.
Backlash their caster to death. It's so ridiculous. Yep.
That's like the Iron Mother tricks too. Yeah. You know, they do the same thing.
So I think it's a pretty fun list. I think it's effective. It has limited matchups, which is the only thing. But I mean, with Crix, if your other matchup is, you know, Body and Soul, which is very popular, it really makes your opponent's head explode because they're limited what they can do.
Yeah, it's a lot of bodies to deal with.
Yep.
So I don't know if Nathan's in the process of building one.
I'm remembering a theme force I used to play, and I'm trying to just remember the details of it.
Yeah. So I've built this list. I've actually started building customized models for it. It's one that I don't see played because whenever I see a Merc player, they're always playing Durgan, or they're playing Shay, or they're playing, yeah. There's not many other Merc players.
Ostrom is really good, and people aren't playing him here, but he tunes up, haha. He is really good with the Earthbreaker. He might be better than Durgan with the Earthbreaker, but nobody in our area is running him.
Yep. But the list I've been building is Magnus. Magnus, two bad seeds. He's really awesome. He's got a lot of awesome spells by himself. But running with bad seeds, he basically gets to take some of the best models for Signar and makes them mercenary only. So he's able to take Renegades and Talon Light Warjacks, a Mangler, Mule, Rover, and Nomad Heavy Warjacks. On top of that, Solos, Kel Balok, Orin Midwinter, and Saxon Auric. If you're just going with the normal list, he has his battle group can include Chargers and Sentinels, and up to one Defender. So he could have those. He can include Sword Knights, Rangers, and Trencher units, and their non-character Solos. And these models are considered friendly mercenary models instead of Signar models.
Yeah.
So really cool thing with them is in my list, I have Magnus with a Nomad and a Renegade, Kel Balok, Orin, Saxon. I have one of my Sword Knight units, since they have the really cool Jack Marshall ability that's on their standard. Or not on... Yeah, is it on their standard? No, it's on their unit.
Yeah.
But their standard gives them Drive Pronto, which allows you to move beforehand.
Yep.
So you put them on mules, so you can move the mules into position. Then they can aim, use their steam burst, they could shoot even farther. I included in the list Trencher Master Gunners.
Sure.
Because they have Artillerist that they can give to them.
So they're aiming and they're boosting with their Marshall Point, and they've got Artillerist. They're like Rat
Nine? They're Rat Nine.
They're fives normally, aiming to seven, Master Gunner or Artillerist to nine.
Yep.
With the boost fishing for that crit.
And they
Pronto
can,
plus the distance, yeah.
And they can also be up to Rat 11. Because if you have Rangers within 2 inches of your target...
Rat 11 troops!
Or no, I'm sorry, not 2 inches, 5 inches of your target.
Rangers are so good.
Yeah, then Rat 11 mules raining down Rat fire. Rat 11
troops. It's pretty legit.
Yeah. And then also with the list, too, is you can have... If you have Saxon Auric in it, the final tier, you can actually have ambushing Sword Knights. They're not really that great. I mean, they don't have any range attacks, so... But...
Ambush is scary.
Ambush with Saxon is not bad because then they can at least deal with the Pathfinder. That's probably going to be in that flank there.
Probably, possibly, yeah. You can mitigate it if it is.
Yep. But, yeah, I know it's a list I've been building. I've really been wanting to play it for a long time. It's pretty neat.
Ambushing Saxon Auric is nice for pew-pewing the backyard, too. Just, like, throwing down, like, that clutch Hierophant or whatever's hanging out back there.
Or everyone's choir, you know, people's shepherds. I mean, especially shepherds. I mean, you remove a couple shepherds off the Legion list, they're like, oh, damn
it. I forgot how to play the game.
My shit's going to attack each other. But yeah. Ride 11 mules. I like that.
Yeah, no, that's actually a problem. Well, I got Nathan, Bloor Mines. Bloor Mines with a list that isn't used much would be amazing-ish.
Theme Force I ran back when... So my current factions, Convergence and Pigs, the Convergence, pretty much all their... let's see. Lucan's Theme Force is terrible. The other four casters you only ever play in theme. So there's no hidden Theme Forces there.
Yeah, there's no quarters out with them with theme forces yet.
And there's no, like, hidden gems. Like, the four that have amazing theme forces, they're amazing, and then Lucan's theme force is terrible. So there's no hidden gems there. And Pigs are kind of similar. I think Carver's theme force is terrible, and I play the rest of them in theme. So I'm going back to the Wayback Machine and looking at armies I used to play. And Krix, I didn't play really much after Theme Forces came out because I had already switched to Mercs by then. So my big Theme Force success, and one that I haven't seen at all, apart from when I ran it, and then you ran it a couple times, Andy, after I stopped playing Trolls, was the Gristle 1.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The Blood of Brag, Tier 4.
Yeah.
Because this one's kind of psychotic.
Has a few models.
Has a few models. But so it's, you can only bring Creel Warriors, the Creel Stone, Scattergunners. Wait, what the? Yeah, yeah. Pig units, Scattergunners, Thumper, Slugs, they don't fucking matter. There's Creel Warriors, Creel Stone, and Pig units, and then light beasts and Fell Collars, Whelps, and Alton Ashley. So tier one, that's all you do. For every Fell Collar, you get one advanced move beast, which is not why we're doing this. Tier two, if you have two or more Creel Warrior units, spoiler, we have three full Creel Warrior units. All of your Creel Warrior units get affected by Hoof It the first turn, which is fucking insane. Tier three, if you have two or more Pig units, the Pig units can redeploy, whatever. We're really doing tier three to get to tier four, which is a bonus 2 inches of deployment. So what that ends up doing is you bring Gristle, three lights. I like to do Pyre, Swamp, and Bouncer, because the Bouncer I would advance move up so that he could then advance, and when she moves up, he can work as a shield guard. She puts the Swamp Troll Animus on herself and then charges forward to be next to him, and so she's super unkillable. And then you have the one Fell Collar you have to, which gives that advanced deploy. You have three full units of Creel Warriors, one with the UA and three Caber Throwers, full Creel Stone Bearers with the Elder, Max Burrowers, and Min Bishwhackers. And so you're deploying 2 inches up, and then your Creel Warriors run a 15? Foot. Yeah. They run a foot with Quicken, because they're speed five, or not Quicken,
their Creel Prayer.
Yeah, whatever their prayer is called. Swift Foot. Swift something. Whatever. Yeah,
sounds right.
So you're starting at 9, let's say, if you go first. Then they're running another 12. Then they're advancing another 5. And so turn 2, you are in your opponent's deployment zone with 35 tough medium-based troops, 15 of which are no knockdown, and all of which are armor, 17?
Yeah, so they're 15 basically.
Yeah, armor 17, tough, 15 of them are no knockdown, 3 of those have reach, and so nobody's getting through that shit. And anybody who does is going to be charged by Fell Called Burrowers or CRA'd by Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's sexy as hell. Because the turn 1, you get the free Hoof It, and then fuck it, I'll feet turn 2 and Hoof It again, or feet turn 2 and charge with 17 attacks per Creel Warrior, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, that list is really scary. I had thought about that one, too. I think, like, as an update, I've been, with the pig units, I've been thinking about throwing the fire eaters in.
Yeah, they are technically a pig unit.
And they're only 4 points.
And so if you drop, let me check one thing.
Because the pig burrowers are 5.
The burrowers are 6 if you bring max. The bushwhackers are 5. I mean, that 1 point doesn't get you much. I mean, it can give you another Creel,
another caber
thrower. Yeah, because you could min the scribes, change the bushwhackers to fire eaters, and downgrade the bouncer to a 4-point light of some kind, and that gets you 3 more caber throwers.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all the shaving you could do. You could drop the elder if you wanted to, but you really never drop the elder from the stones.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, so there you go. You can do fire eaters instead of the bushwhackers, and you can do a cheaper light instead of the bouncer, and you could min the stone, and you'll get 3 more caber throwers.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty decent. I think that's
just a pile of bodies.
It is. I don't know. I don't want to see that many tough trolls across the table. I'd like to put them on my side of the table someday. I'm waiting on my third unit.
But so you need to have more blood hags.
Yeah, because then that blood hags. But
imbalanced.
One of that
even still, even if you don't have the tough, the sheer, like, yeah, where still, they yeah. are, yeah. even if you took tough off their card, you're so far, like, the zone is 7 inches behind them. I'll just purge on them. I win. Okay, you purged on them in your deployment zone, I just scored. And I'm going to score again. Like,
Nathan doesn't score twice that often.
Yeah. I mean, this list, I went undefeated with it. I won a tournament, and then I was undefeated with it in casual play, and then Andy was undefeated with it until he finally lost with it against me.
Well, and that's, like, besides... Yeah.
Like, its only loss was against me. It was a pretty... It did well.
And besides the gimmick of running 30 Creel Warriors, like, Gristle is not, like, a caster to be taken lightly. Like, no. If you're not ready for, I think it's Cacophony.
Yeah.
That Falcao will shut you right down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much skew discussion. My brain is bleeding a little bit, though. Because all of our lists are skewed. I have another list with a skew.
Hey, I had two skews. Scouts. Mine.
That's askew.
Mine wasn't askew.
Yours was not, actually. Yours was not.
Yeah, mine was just completely...
That's why I won't win.
I didn't...
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, although it looks nice when done.
Yeah, it will look nice. I mean, my sword knights look amazing.
Yeah.
I will say this. I never played it. If I had played... I almost did. Like, I was starting to... If I had played Mercs for one more month, my next press gang order, I would have ordered the parts to do Ashlyn in theme. Because that theme is really interesting to me, because having an advanced deploy battle group, yeah, including the caster, is really cool.
Yeah.
And she gets to bring a second dude. And a lot of people saw that list and they're like, I'm going to bring two mules on each thing. And it's like, no, calm down a second. Like, mules are cool, but you can do so much more with this list.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got around to, you know, if I had thought about it, I should have tried making a list for her last night, thinking about it, because I knew that I would talk about her in this discussion. But that theme force looks really interesting to me, and I think a good player could do a really good job with her.
Our other Merc player, Josh, locally really likes Magus. I'm surprised he's not brought out the Magus 2 theme.
It's an investment, though, too, because yeah, you do have to get Sword Knights.
I guess you're buying a lot of Signar stuff, so you're not going to play it otherwise.
Well, that's the flip side. It's easier for a Signar player to just buy Magnus than it is for a Merc player to get into Bad Seeds.
Yeah.
Because they actually use their own faction.
Well, you figure most Signar players just use Merc stuff, so it's not.
That was my point. Like, if you're a Signar player, you already have everything except for Magnus.
Yeah.
Who is good?
Yeah.
He's so good.
Magnus 2 is solid.
I don't know why he just doesn't get more play in general.
He doesn't have a tuned up Earthbreaker.
He was Denny 3 before Denny 3 existed. He's like, oh, I have a feat where you don't get to move, and I have a debuff spells, and I have arc nodes. Like,
but can he broadside a galleon?
Yeah. I have 2 points left, so.
One of the other, I don't know if we want to keep running with this for a while.
Well, hey, it's your topic, buddy.
I've got one more.
I'm gonna do this thing while you're doing your thing.
Okay, I'll talk about one more and then I'll throw in towel.
We'll wrap it up. Well, one more maybe.
So the one that I and this one, I think everybody knows it's a decent tier list, but it's one that you don't see as
theme
often.
Fuck you. Is it Family Reunion?
Because smack you.
People stop playing Family
that
Reunion.
That was going to be my pair for this tournament. Was going to be Family Reunion and Hunter's Grimm tier list, but I'm just going to play. I'm going to bring a bat that says tier list on it and just beat you with it.
That's fine.
Can I use tier list though? Is that legal?
I'm doing this for Travis, because at home right now, Travis is doing that every single time. Oh, I know it.
So calling them tier lists make Travis angry?
I'm sorry, Travis.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about this tier list here. It's Vlad 3 has just a really fun tier list. Tier list. And I just don't see it a whole lot. I think like that people discount it because, first of all, it's like, it's an expensive list to buy.
The Horse
Lord? Yeah, the Charge of the Horse Lord.
Bouchois brings it up once in a while.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's,
I made a goofy list that's technically a theme for us, so I do have two more.
It's a tier list. But the gist is you can only really take cavalry models. Like, cavalry models...
Cavalry.
And this is Hooked on Phonics with Nathan and Brian.
How many hills can you bring?
Yeah. I have a plan that has been, in no small words, been explained to me that if I ever go through with it, I'm out of the press gang. But, It's cavalry.
Cavalry. I say what I want. But the Warbeasts are pretty, or not Warbeasts, but Warjacks are like, they're what you would expect, non-characters plus Drago. And then you get your battle mechanics and cavalry. Yeah, that's right. The L comes after all the A's. Yep, cavalry. Yep, this is where we're at. But then you can take a war dog and then guys on horse solos, plus the gun carriage. So at tier one, all of your non-character cavalry solos, units and battle engines are decreased by 1 point, which is pretty legit. And then on tier two, if you have two or more cavalry units, Warjacks get +2 speed during your first turn of the game. Then tier three is usually where I stop it. But the if you take two or more mounted units, you get +1 to your starting roll. Tier four is if you do have Drago, your Warjacks go down by one. The list that I kind of ran with it just has tons of... you also... Yeah, you increase the FA of mounted solos by one as well. So it's the list where you get to take the coveted two Manowar Dracoons, along with Fenris is in there. I also put...
two Fenrises?
No, I wish I could. But I almost have two Fenrises. I got Joseph Stalin on a horse. And then I pull a full unit of Outriders, a full unit of Ulans, and then a minimum unit of Ulans. And then I put a War Dog and a Spriggan on Vlad. So, like, you're moving super far, super fast up the table. And then you've got these, like, four mega solos, like, going up the flanks to just, like, take out solos or open for a, wait for an opening on a caster. And the Spriggan actually, like, can get up and move. Because I think it, what was it? I think it was Infernal Machine is what Vlad 3 has as well. Just checking real quick. But, yeah, Infernal Machine. So he can put that on the Spriggan. And he's moving at... He goes from speed 4 to speed 6 because of the tier bonus, and then speed 8 because of the Infernal Machine. So that Spriggan's running 16 inches on turn 1, which is ridiculous.
It's getting places.
Colossals can't gain advanced deploy, right? That's part of the Great Machine rule?
Correct.
Yeah. I was going to say Colossal in Ashen's Theme Force. That I... No, no.
Too bad they can't ambush
him. I already thought of it.
See, that was what I liked with him. I think if the Ulans get the same treatment as the other unit, what was it that recently came? I think, was it the Storm Lances that came out in a 5-box now?
I think Ulans are in a 5-box right now.
When Jordan played the Horselord, at least his style, for how he plays, he really liked the double light in only one heavy. Like, he,
yep.
After multiple games, he just found that the two units of heavy cav just didn't quite get the job done. But the two lights had sprayed so much off the board that the one unit heavy would just kind of sit back longer and just roll on in when it was time. I mean, different people, different play styles, but I know after, because he gave it a good dozen or two dozen tries before they finally gave up on the second unit.
You know what's better than two units of heavy cavalry or two units of light cavalry? The ultimate cavalry theme force, which is Kreas 2.
Okay.
Fire of Salvation. Gravis. Max unit Vengers, max unit Vengers, max unit Flamebringers, max unit Flamebringers.
That's a lot of horses.
That is the Fire of Salvation and 22 horses is your army. And you get plus one to go first. And, yeah. But hey, you get plus one to go first, 22 horses in the Fire of Salvation.
That is more horses.
That's an achievement.
We should tell Kofut about that.
I think I showed it to him.
Yeah.
I think this list is actually not bad.
It doesn't sound random. I mean, like, Vengers, I always kind of cringe when I hear about them. But
why?
They just, like, they're half useful. Like, the weapons on them, like, what is it? They can only hit with one charge weapon and then can only use the other weapon if they didn't charge. I think that's how they work.
What if they had signs importance on their melee weapons?
Oh, because isn't that...
That's what he does for them.
That's what Kreos 3 does for them, though.
Or Kreos 3, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Or,
I was like, Kreos 2, that's Kreos, weird.
Whatever, Kreos 3, the horse one, yes. The horse. So it's Kreos 3, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he gives them signs importance, and he also gives one of the units Ignite.
I'm sorry, didn't you mean Threos?
I did not.
Threos in your tier list?
Yes, I wanted Threos in my Calvary tier list. I think Harbringer is better with Calvary in her tier list.
Three Shade is pretty popular.
Gorthry.
You can just do Horse Shade.
Dry Shade.
Dry Shade. What's Latin for three?
Gorthry.
I Shade. Likes a lot of horses. Let's run this horse gimmick. Anyway, moving on. You know, saying your two lists?
That was one of them. That was the Stampede one. I don't have an Ashland theme made up yet.
My last
I've got 28 points left to play with.
I am making this theme force. I have stuff coming in the mail is Void Seer Mordekaiser's Legion of the Abyss.
Nope.
Which Andy is going to love helping me assemble some of these models.
You already owe me big time anyway.
I know, I do. That's true. So the gimmick of this one. Now, Scorn theme forces are hard because typically if the theme force doesn't say Pain Givers, you're like, nope. Because Pain Givers are, you know, important for the faction. But Mordekaiser's theme force, the first one's limited to, no battle engines. You get Agonizers, which are great. Feral Geist, which is neat. And Void Spirits, which Mordekaiser likes. The only units are Annihilators, which are cool, Karaks, which are, you know, iffy, and Swordsmen, which can be pretty cool, and only non-character War Beasts. Turn one, tier one is simply take those miles you get in Corporal turn one. So I really wish, speaking of that, I wish that if you win so many of these things where you get Stealth or Incorporeal or blah, 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 turn one, only help if you go first. If you go second, those abilities have no ability because the second round two starts, they go away. I really wish some of these things would last for a round.
What I had posited forward was it should be, because even the ones that start, it should be on your first turn, you gain this for a round or whatever, so...
That'd be really nice. Because, I mean, otherwise, it has no value.
Yeah, if you go second, having stealth first round does okay.
Nothing, yeah.
Yeah.
It protects you from Iris.
It protects you from, like, a quickened snipe Iris or whatever.
Yeah. So, tier two, which is a pretty... For every two units, you get a Void Spirit to the army for free, which in the past was neat, but we'll go into why it's amazing shortly. But more Void Spirits are great. They're abominations against Mordekaiser. They hit better.
Do you get beast?
He also gets the Lanterns.
Oh, nice.
His tier three is if you have five or more souls with Incorporeal, the souls with Incorporeal can get advanced deploy. Ben Lang used to play this back in the day, this theme for us. And then tier four is if your battle group has at least three more War Beasts, you get 2 inches forward, and farther forward is good. What tunes this list up now is the Scarab Packs, because they count as units and they count as War Beasts. So, and I haven't finalized how many I'm going to have. So I take Mordekaiser with it, a spoiler. Every time he kills a model, a Void Spirit just pops out of him that can activate, which is cool. Then you take, my current version has 6 units of Scarab Pack, so that covers the War Beast requirement, and that's 6 units, so I'm getting 3 free Void Spirits. So that's 6 points of Void Spirits, you know, 3 free Void Spirits on top of that, and 6 Scarab Packs, which are kind of ridiculous. Then I have an Agonizer and a Feralgeist, and then I have Annihilators, because, you know, you want some kind of shenanigans in there. But having 5 Void Spirits means if people come... If you timer, you can make someone make 5 command checks. And again, gimmicky. But they all create clouds when they kill stuff that hurts the opponent, and the spoiler can pop things out. And the Scare Packs, they're going to die like crazy, but you can revive them. They can cause all sorts of problems. I just think it's kind of... I don't know how effective it'll be, but it's going to be kind of a fun, goofy list. I think you're going to start seeing that kind of... And again, it's another spam list. I think the key to theme forces that are successful will do two things, generally. Is you spam something really crazy that's decent and a lot of free points. The Calandra was, what, 11 points free?
Yeah, 11.
Jordan's Bouchois Doomweaver list is like 6 to 8 points for free. I mean, when you start getting, you know, units worth of free stuff... Mm-hmm. It just changes a battlefield. And then you give them, usually it's, you get almost units worth of free stuff, then they get some sort of additional gimmick to start the game off. You're just like 8 points plus a gimmick. Mm-hmm. And then you just go fucking crazy. Like the Mordekaiser list, I get 6 points of, you know, free, which is neat, but there's not much other gimmicks on top of that. But it's, you know, obnoxiousness. But that's my last...
Even just having that extra attack out there
is
really good. Especially with an Incorporeal model.
I finished building my Ashlyn list, and I think I'm going to stop masturbating to Alyssa Milano and start masturbating to this list.
All right. Can you masturbate to both?
Probably.
Excellent.
I can name this list Alyssa Milano. Alyssa Milano.
Oh! A-list. I'm going to Google her right now.
A-list Milano.
I'm going to Google myself. Sorry.
I get it. Google sounds like a dirty thing.
Yeah. It is a dirty thing.
Google is. We already discussed this. Bing is the dirty thing because Google still filters even when you turn Safe Filter off, which is bullshit.
Thank God for Bing and porn.
Like, why even claim you're turning Safe Filter off if you're still filtering?
Yeah, Bing is where you go for all your good porn.
I'm not gonna turn Safe Filter off, type in interracial blowjobs into the search filter, and then be like, oh my goodness, I wasn't expecting those kinds of pictures. I knew what I wanted, Google. Don't judge me. Don't filter.
Bing is like, we know what you want.
Yeah. Bing, I go to Bing, I turn Safe Filter off, and it's like, so porn? I'm like, yeah. Just, you don't even have to type. It just starts throwing random porn at you.
Yeah. Bing's like that bad friend in high school that gives you all the bad stuff, even though it knows it's bad for you. Google's like the little study buddy who's like, no, you really don't want that. Try this caffeine instead. I got Adderall.
Bing just shows you the last 10, top 10 of your last, like, lifetime searches.
That's going to be sad.
Cheese Whiz, number 8.
What if that's what happens at the pearly gates? Is St. Peter just pulls up your Google and Bing results?
Search results?
Yeah. And they're immune to control shift N. God still sees.
There's a control shift N.
What?
What?
You didn't. Control shift N, bro.
What's that?
It brings
so
up.
So you're married. It's more important for you because you.
I guess so.
See, when you're not, when you're single, yeah. You're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously, when I die, you guys burn my stuff. Just throw the computer in the water. I mean, I'll do that for everyone. You have to have that deal with people. Like,
I don't have to do that if you'd start using Control Shift N.
Well, there's other things on there.
What does it do?
It opens up a new window that is incognito mode, and incognito mode doesn't go into your history. It doesn't save the cookies. It once you close that window, it's gone.
Your shame goes away. So when I clear my history and
it
says,
you don't have to.
And it says you should just go into incognito mode.
It's talking about Control Shift
N. Ah, okay.
It's like, we know what you're doing.
But when you do that, it pops up a warning. It's like, warning, this, you know, it doesn't do history and blah, 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 but this doesn't protect you from certain things such as blah, blah, blah. And one of the things it lists is people standing behind you looking over your shoulder.
Well, even my phone, when I pull up incognito with like that little icon that shows up, is like a dude in a hat and sunglasses and a trench coat, and I'm like, this really just does look like a pastor going into a porn store.
I don't do porn on my phone, just FYI. I don't trust it. My phone's important.
It's harder to deal with pop-ups.
Yeah, there's all sorts of problems on the phone. I just don't need it there.
Yeah.
My phone's always in safe mode. My phone's always Google. I never use Bing on my phone.
Right.
Anyway, we were going somewhere with Ashlyn.
Oh, I had Ashlyn. So, Viva la Resistance.
I do like some of the names of these Steam Forks. They do a good job coming up with fun names.
Viva la Resistance. So units, Precursor Knights, Sam and the Devil Dogs, Blythe and Bull. So really, Precursor Knights and Sam and the Devil Dogs, because Blythe and Bull are terrible.
What?
Solos, Anastasia Debray, Gorman DeWolf, Harlan Versch, Madeline Corbeau, Rupert Carvalho, Rutger Shaw, Terran de la Revolse. Battle Engines, none. So that's all well and good. You'll note that's a lot of solos that have guns, which is kind of cool, and then Precursor Knights. So tier one, you do that, you can bring gun mages also. So really, gun mages should have been listed and then just had no tier one benefit. Tier two, if you have Anastasia and Terran, you get to redeploy all your solos, which is pretty awesome. Tier 3, if you have two or more Vanguards, your battle group gets advanced deployment, which, like I said, is the sexy part of this list. And Tier 4 is you get a second free Arcane Tempest Gun Mage attachment.
UA.
UA, yes.
Which is solid, because he tunes that unit.
There is a second thing to Tier 1, rather. Tier 1, in addition to allow you to take the Arcane Tempest Gun Mage units, you can also take Captain Adepts, which is cool. So the list, what I had seen people doing, which is bringing the two units of gun mages and putting as many mules as possible on them, which I believe the points break down, you can only put three mules, not four.
Only three, because I've tried so many times to fit four.
But I think that's a trap, because the thing with mules is when they get one game out of...
Mules are a trap.
When they get the crit, you'll remember it as a game-winning, amazing thing, but you can't rely on the crit. Yeah. So the list I just made, I started with the bare minimum and just added some more sexy stuff. So it's tier four. Ashlyn, two Vanguards, and a Nomad. Done. That's what you need. You have your heady hitter. You need two Vanguards, number one, because it's required, and number two, because Vanguards are fucking awesome. And then the Nomad, because you want to be able to actually kill something, maybe.
If the model annoys Keith Christensen, you know it's a good model.
Oh, I love the Vanguard so much. And then we have a unit of Precursor Knights, max unit with the UA, because, again, you want to be able to kill something, and so having Weapon Masters is helpful.
And the unit UA is just nice.
Well, yeah, the UA makes them, it gives them the mini-feet Weapon Master. Yeah. You can't run Precursors without the UA. They're just sad.
That unit looks so beautiful.
Look beautiful, but with the UA, they become an actual sexy unit. I mean, the Spell Ward's handy and everything, but having the Weapon Master mini-feet is gigantic. Two units of Gunmage Pistoliers, both with the UAs. I'm not attaching any jacks to those because I need the points, because I'm also taking every solo ever. Anastasia Debray, Terran de Ravose, Gorman DeWolf, Gunmage Captain Adept, another Gunmage Captain Adept, Harlan Versch, Rupert, and Madeline. So Rupert's going to be able to pipe Pathfinder and or Tough, not and, but Pathfinder or Tough onto the Precursors, because you can't spell them, so they need that. But the thing is... I have lived this dream before, and it's an amazing dream. With an Ashlyn list with this many guns, with this high of a rat, Corbeau letting all of them move and shoot again wins you the game. Or not Corbeau, rather, Anastasia. Anastasia doing that. And Corbeau giving her +1 command helps
also,
with
also
that.
Also, Corbeau moving Anastasia
Corbeau moves Anastasia up 3 inches. Yeah. Then Corbeau runs in front of her so that Anastasia can advance to get base-to-base with Corbeau, use intrigue or espionage, whatever it's called in Mark II, and then because of the +1 command, get more of your army. And the fact that it's model slash unit is disgusting.
Well, the slash unit's what makes
it. Yeah. You got one gun mage 9.999 inches away. The other 6 gun mages 10 further inches away from that guy still get to move and shoot. It's just your whole army gets a second turn. And, like, I've had that where, because of stealth on her, if you protect her, and she gets to advance after doing this, if you protect Anastasia, you can do that 2-3. Like, you keep doing that, and you've just won the game.
Yeah, if you get Anastasia off twice on someone, they're not. It's really, really hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
Everything you love dies.
Boom.
Yeah, and with all these troops having, like, Mat 7 and 8, or Rat, excuse me, Rat, like, 7 and 8, like, because you don't get aiming bonus out of activation, even if you aimed, like, during your activation, it doesn't stick around or anything like that. Same with backstrikes, which people forget a lot, is,
Oh. What?
Like, if let's say a model had its back turned to your jack, and then you did ancillary attack, you don't get +2 to hit it.
Oh, really?
Because back arc is activation only.
That's only during the activation.
Yeah,
okay.
If you begin your activation
in
the butt.
And I see people get that wrong. But yeah, so but because those rats are so high, and most of those solos have stealth as well, which is pretty sexy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever, well, I mean, when you can put a UA on both gun mage units, pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, Kane 2's theme list is good for that reason, too. Lots of other reasons, like he's Kane 2. But
he's pretty good. He does have the wrong model. They should just release an errata that says use the Kane 2 model as Kane 1 and use the Kane 1 model as Kane 2. They should, because those models are blatantly wrong. The guy who shoots everybody on the table has both of his guns pointed in the same direction, and the guy who shoots one thing for a million damage has his guns pointed in opposite directions. Like, they really are the wrong model. Did you fart again? Okay, Brian farted at least a second time. It's the second that I know of. There could have been more. No tears, only dreams now.
Only themes.
No tears, only 3 themes now. That! Yes!
That was pretty good.
T-I-E-R-S.
Speaking of things that we got wrong, I got a judgment call wrong that took a while to figure out.
Yeah, because it's in the core rules, not on the unit. And that's what we were missing on Wednesday.
Yep. So it turns out that that models that are placed, if they're placed by friendlies, cannot be placed out of formation.
If they started in formation.
Correct.
Which, if someone would have asked me, I'd be like, yeah, place where the fuck you want. I mean, it's a place fact. I would have caught that either.
I knew 100% that shifting stones could not shift out of formation. I knew that was true. And when we talked about it on Saturday, I'm like, I know that's true. And then on Wednesday, you go, it doesn't say that. I'm like, show me their card, because I know that's true. And it's not on the card. It's so I was confused, and then I just, like, my brain melted, and I left, and I went home and cried and drank some scotch, because the world was shattering.
But that was the same thing with me, too, is I understood that they couldn't shift out of formation. I'm looking at the card. The card just doesn't show it anywhere. Right. And so, yeah.
Because it's in the core rules.
It's in the actual core rules.
But it's such an obscure core rule that, you know.
It goes against, not really against, but 99% of the units in the game works the way they do. They can run shit out of formation. They don't care.
I think
Just placement.
Yeah. No. Which really affects the stones and TK.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's basically it.
Speaking of rules and making rule judgments, I think, and this doesn't have to be for the Who's the Boss December charity event, but I think we need to have some kind of charity or special event, you know, create not a serious event where we do bring in Katie Judge. The thing is, Katie wants to do this. The thing is, Katie will, we just have to keep, we have to have it somewhere she can drink a lot, because we're going to give Katie a lot of alcohol, and she's the official judge of the day. And if you have rules questions, Katie's going to give you the answer.
We can do that for Who's the Boss in December.
I'm just saying, I just think it'd be a fun
special. Also, then drunk Katie is dealer's choice.
Yeah,
he's drunk Katie is also she can accept bribes as well.
You guys are very dull dealer choice people. You guys always are very
I
very
try to
static.
Be interesting. It's just Andy always just shouts out Karchev because Andy loves Karchev.
I do.
Especially as a warlock. I try to do something interesting, but no.
I would never pick the same one twice in the same day. It'd be like crazy nonsense.
Yeah. Well, we can adopt a blackboard that we'll choose from.
A dartboard, yeah. Just like, but anyway, I think drunk Katie helping out with rules questions would be great. She doesn't have to necessarily be drunk, I suppose, but you just
yes, she does.
You give her your problem. You don't, and then she just tells you the answer, and you can't argue with it, and then she moves on to the next table. I think it would be a very interesting event. I don't think things would go officially correctly per se, but people would.
So
learn.
That would be who's the boss? It's Katie. Yeah.
Katie's the boss. That's the
Katie's the boss with Scott Baio.
Yeah. If you buy her alcohol, she'd probably rule in your favor. You call Katie for a rules question. Like, hey, Katie, here's a glass of wine.
Here's a cupcake.
Yeah, here's a cupcake. I have a question. So really, it's just constant bribery of Katie. She'll leave there with like $50 and she'll be happy.
And alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. that would be
$50, diabetes and alcohol poisoning.
That would be the great picture to send in to No Quarter, is like showing Katie being hauled off in the ambulance. It's like, we had a great event in Wisconsin today.
$1,700 raised for charity, 2 fatalities.
Yep. Because Katie eventually just punched Jeremy. Drunk Katie eventually always starts punching Jeremy.
Oh, God. Drunk Katie and Jeremy mixed together is great times.
It's a
I'm not going to repeat the resistance story again, but.
That's fine. But yeah, I hear you.
I don't think I've heard it.
Well, this doesn't work. It only works for you.
Oh, I wanted to be on the other side.
Are we to. I think we're pretty much out. I mean,
did we zap Gump?
No, we didn't.
So, recommendations?
Yeah. We're just recording audio for tomorrow.
Yeah. You're recording audio for tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's Saturday, people. We're out of control.
I got invited.
I'm not putting on pants tomorrow. I'm so excited.
I guess I got invited from a local person to go out with him to Milwaukee for. Looks like here for Extra Life.
Yeah.
Which is the charity raising thing. So
I don't know what that means.
That's why I'm not going to be here on Sunday.
Charity?
Yeah.
What?
The charity thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Extra Life is like a video game charity fundraising event.
I'm not going to give video game people money.
Brian.
What?
I farted. I like how we all shut up specifically. So somebody did hear that. What I'd like to do.
It's stinky.
I'd like for one of those events as well. I'd like to do something with the War Machine community, so we might do some type of large stream. I have an idea. I'm not going to say it out loud, so somebody will do it before us. So,
we only follow through on 10% of our ideas. So we don't want to get an idea out there and then not do it.
Yeah, then we're not going to do it, and then somebody will do it.
Eventually, we'll do.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, some people are less than that. Some people are more than that. We're at the 10% mark. We do 10% of what we say. That's pretty good by some scale.
Double digits.
Hey,
can't do much better than
that. By the War Machine Computing Podcast, we're probably third.
Yes, that's probably true.
I mean,
I think there's some island out there somewhere in imagination world where it's like the island for lost toys, and it's more like. Crippled systems started projects. Somewhere there's a potato holding a turd somewhere.
A very confused potato too, because he didn't get the memo. Like, why do I have this?
It's just he's asking an existential question like, am I poop or am I a potato?
In my mind, they were both anthropomorphic, and the turd had, like, died from neglect, and the potato is weeping and holding it in his arms. And now I'm, like, imagining the ending of Titanic with, like, the turd sinking and the potatoes on the door.
It's okay.
And, yeah. The turd giving a thumbs up in Terminator 2 while going into the lava. All these dramatic ways that they could be broken up. My brain is different.
That's all right. I got into a conversation last night about the liquid Terminators. Are they the 2000?
1000.
Yep.
So I was drunk and somebody. Yeah, I know. Crazy. So somebody had
actual
asked
drunk
why,
or Wisconsin drunk?
Like, I was just.
So you were functional.
I was functional, yeah.
So you're Wisconsin
normal. I was functional enough to make an ass of myself at a bar somewhere, but it was fine. Anyway, so the friend asked me, like, why doesn't the little liquid Terminator needle that they shoot turn into, like, a little Terminator? And I'm like, why don't they just play mind games with the people they shoot? And you, like, get somebody in the arm with one of your, like, liquid Terminator needles, and it turns into a dick. like, you just got this penis hanging out of your arm and you don't know what to do. It, I don't know. It just sounded a lot funnier when I was drunk.
You were drunk. So why does the T-1000 stab Sarah Connor and then tell her to call to John and be bait to call to John if now that he's touched her, he could just morph into her and use her voice to call for John after killing
Technically
her?
Technically speaking, well, because the director's cut, like, the whole point is that the whole second part, he has all those, like, glitches, so he can't do a lot of it. Because when you watch
it, yeah, I guess that's a good point. He is glitchy.
It happens at that point. You just
they cut out some of that parts
in
there.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thank you.
It'd be great. John!
It is weird to watch that movie, The Director's Cut, because it's, I mean, it's, I've watched the original like 1,000 times. I've watched The Director's Cut. It's like, it's, I mean, it's not bad. It makes some sense, but it's just a little
weird. The scene with the chip is also good in The Director's Cut. Raylene and I just marathoned all the Aliens movies, and now we're doing the Predator movies. And Alien 2, Aliens, The Director's Cut is, like, you just don't bother watching it without that.
Yeah, well, it's correct. The Kingdom of Heaven. Also,
I finally can identify every single Marine by name. Nice. I finally memorized all of them. Crow and Wierzbowski were the hardest two to remember because they are the most, they're just generic doughy white dudes.
X-Men Last Stand, Director's Cut comes out soon with like 20 extra minutes. Ooh, of a
Crow's the one he had all the ammunition that fell down the well, right?
I know how they died. Yeah.
Wierzbowski just like, yeah.
Actually, no. Frost has all the ammunition. He's the black one who isn't the sergeant. Frost has the ammunition.
Oh, okay. Yep.
When he gets set on fire and falls down. So Dietrich gets grabbed. She's the redheaded butch lesbian one. She gets grabbed and pulled away. She flames and kills Frost. He falls down the shaft. He drops the ammo and it explodes. And the explosion kills Wierzbowski and Crow.
Boo.
Are you sure? Yeah. Wierzbowski, they're yelling for him.
Yeah.
Are you sure that killed him?
Yeah, the explosion kills
Wierzbowski
and Crow.
I thought Wierzbowski just got drawn away.
So I'm going to go with him on this one.
Mm.
He's wrong a lot, but... You guys are wrong. I was the only one not really wrong in the first five episodes.
Because Hudson's just calling out people's names. And at that time, he's just like, where's Wierzbowski? Because he doesn't know where he is. And where he is over there on fire from an ammunition explosion.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Dietrich and Sarge who are the two that are still alive. Because they get pulled away.
Nice. Recommendations? I like that movie now.
Don't watch Alien 4?
Yeah. That's a good recommendation.
My recommendation is a YouTube channel that I have been marathoning, although I've seen every one of his videos before. And it turned out I've watched every one of his YouTube videos, and now I found out he has two podcasts, so I guess I'll start marathoning his podcast. But CGP Grey, G-R-E-Y, CGP space G-R-E-Y. They're fairly dry, but they're witty enough to be entertaining and have jokes in them, but they're just little educational videos. They're like 4 or 5 minutes long. Some of them are about political things, like various election types and things like that. Some are just like, what's the difference between the United Kingdom and England and Britain? And it's like, I don't fucking know. Well, now I know a little better because he had a little video, and they're interesting and they're funny. And
He's pro-communism, by the way. I read Rick's comment.
He's pro-communism?
Yeah, he's really communist, but anyway.
Well, I think it's probably more likely that he's pro-socialism. And socialism is a dirty word in America, but it's actually not that bad thing.
I watched both of his videos; are actually very entertaining. He's very well spoken. He makes very well points. Whenever someone's that well spoken and makes a lot of videos, I'm like, I feel like I have to look into this because it's like, you know, because so you have too many videos. Too many people go, oh, they listen to a video, then they go and they spot what they just saw on the internet. After everyone, I just saw this video that the Jews are bad again. And I'm like, he does nothing like that.
But like if he had a video all well spoken and like if one of his videos was the same, you know, had enough humor and was well spoken, was interesting, and told you exactly why you shouldn't vaccinate your kids because they'll all get autism. And you're like, oh, okay, well, he's interesting and smart. I believe him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the danger of listening to people who are well spoken and just funny enough to make you listen to their entertaining.
But he does have a lot of videos. Like, he's like, here's a 2-minute video on why this is different. And he doesn't have any opinions that this is this or this is that. And then it moves on. Yeah.
One of his only ones that's like longer than 5 minutes is the one I just posted on my Facebook. It's like a 15, 16 minute long one. It's called Humans Need Not Apply, which is really interesting because it's talking about how eventually every single job will be done by a robot. Like, and what the hell happens then when unemployment is reaching 100%?
Well, Star Trek, I mean, people just work because they want to work, because it's responsible.
And so then the interesting thing, and he doesn't go into this in his video, because this is completely just a philosophical discussion, is whether when there's enough for everybody, what do we do with our natural inclination for jealousy and pride? Like, if all of us can have 50 Porsches, how can I have the best car on the block?
Mm.
But everybody wants to have the coolest house, the best car, the nicest suit, but if everybody has infinite money functionally because money is no longer needed because everything's provided for, how do you do that? And in Star Trek, everybody just doesn't. Like, everybody's just cool with it.
Well, to be fair, they had to go through a few world wars to get to a point.
The guy that you're discussing there sounds very familiar to a guy I used to watch videos on YouTube for. He doesn't make any of them recently. It was Qualia Soup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has very kind of just very well thought out documents and arguments and that, you know, like open mindedness and versus closed mindedness discussions. It's very, very intriguing, and I'll probably check with your guy.
Yeah, cool. I'll show you one or two of his videos before I leave here. Like I said, they're really short, and you'll like them.
Yeah, the Vegas one was interesting.
Huh?
The whole Vegas
one. The Vegas one. One that I had not seen before, and it's the one that I found, and the reason I was kind of re-watching a bulk of it was the one describing what exactly is America, like the American territories. And obviously the ones I mentioned before is like things like Guam and Puerto Rico and whatnot, but there's like all these other random fucking islands that I didn't even know about.
Mm-hmm. What's his name on Saturdays?
Yeah, I was just about to say, as he went over all of those territories.
What's his name?
John Oliver. Yeah, he was basically talking about like how American Samoa supplies so many soldiers to our army, and they don't even
get certain benefits.
And that's what he goes into is like there's all these other ones, like these random islands that like they can live in America and they get to do this and that and they have then all this, but they don't get to vote because it's kind of like D.C. is bigger than like six states population wise. It's And those six states get to vote for president, and the people in D.C. don't. Because D.C. is not a state. They don't get to vote for president.
Yeah.
And these things like these other islands, like they have rights, and they can live in America, and they get jobs in America, and all this stuff, and they don't get to vote either. But like America Samoa, for some reason, like they're technically American citizens, except they get zero rights whatsoever.
Yeah, same thing like Puerto Rico as well. Yeah. I mean, they get one representative that can't say anything
in
our legislature.
Gray was talking about that's either the best job in the world or the worst job in the world, depending on the kind of person you are. Like, you get to go to Congress and you don't have to do anything, or you have to go to Congress and you can't do anything.
Yep. Yeah, I think it would be worse being able to have to go and you can't do anything.
It's kind of like the backup quarterback in the
BMS?
Yeah, BMS. That's perfect. He loved that job.
Blue Mountain State, yep. Until he was the starter.
Yeah, like, damn it. My recommendation is an offshoot of our podcast, our Dresden podcast. Because we did the first five, and now we're going to do the next six, and I want to reread them. And we had
next
a lot
five.
Of next, or the next six or ten we're going to do.
Right, the next five.
And we had some comments. People wanted a little bit more information per book, and I'm rereading them. I'm going to make a little bit of notes of like just some highlights of events that happened in the book.
We could almost even give just a quick synopsis.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Couldn't you do just the next three?
We're gonna do five.
And then three. That way you can drag it out.
We can drag it up. Well, we can be more efficient, but. My recommendation is we've talked about the audiobooks. I actually downloaded book six audiobook, and this is the first time I've ever listened to an audiobook, and it's kind of weird. And the Amazon app is amazing because I can keep the app open, I can see the book, and then as the audiobook is happening, it's highlighting the text that's being spoken. So I could like read along to what's being spoken, which is weird because the whole idea of an audiobook is you don't have shit in front of you because you're doing other things. But it's a neat little thing, and I can even like I could read for a little while, skip ahead, and then it would immediately know where I was, and it would just start the audiobook part up again. But listening to someone like describe a book, I think audiobooks are a neat thing. I think if you've never done it and you're like, you know what, I don't like to read, but you know,
if you drive a lot, you know, a lot of people have commutes.
Yeah, but I just have like a 10-minute to and from work, so yeah, it's hard. But I mean, audio for some people, I'm kind of fascinated by it. And it's so weird to hear someone else read to me a book.
I was confused though, and I don't know if this is blarg. Somebody linked, because we mentioned how Marsters had done 14 of the 15 books.
Correct.
Because one of them he missed. And then so people linked and pointed out that they had actually gone back and re-recorded that one
mostly
book
by fan demand.
With him. Yeah. Which is really cool that they did that.
And that's kind of what was my
But
pushing.
The link that they gave, like I followed the link and it was to the site to buy the audiobook and it was like $40?
So
that can't be true.
What's interesting, speaking of prices, in my Amazon Kindle, the first couple books, the audiobooks were $2 to $4. Normal price like $30 or $40. Books on tape are very expensive. But in a Kindle, like book six was $12. A lot. It's weird. Well, if someone's reading.
I guess they'd have to be expensive because they have to sell so many fewer. than physical books. And so the cost per book...
I think buying them... I would probably never buy one new if it was that expensive. But when they're on sale for a couple of bucks... Like, I spent 12 on book six, and I was like, whatever. But I saw the first six were pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And I'll buy, like... I bought them all in paperback. I bought some on the Nook. I decided I didn't want to buy a book. I bought them, rebought them all on the on this. And now I'm buying the audio versions of them. Someone I know just, you know, torrents that crap. But I'm not a thief, so I won't do that kind of crap.
I only torrent things I can't pay for. No, I don't mean like that I don't have the money. I mean that I literally can't. Like, the Tick animated series was not purchasable.
Okay.
So I pirated them. Right. The instant it was available on DVD, I bought it because I wanted them to know that it was worth releasing these things so that they could give money for me.
And I was there when Napster hit the internet. I downloaded a fuck ton of things. I was like in this daze on a college campus with unlimited internet. And I was downloading every goddamn song. But since then, like it's been over a decade since I've torrented anything that was actual value. When I have cable, I torrented a couple TV shows, but I've since bought all those DVDs and all those kind of things. I buy all my music online. I just don't steal stuff anymore because it's stealing. But anyway, I went on a tangent. But
from a purely
good.
Selfish point of view, I want them to know that there's money in these things so that they keep providing
it. I always have this kick. I want to go back and watch Two Guys Are Going to Pizza Place because I'm weird. You can't buy that. Like I would probably torrent that because I literally am not. I have no access to buy it. I would pay for it if I had the opportunity.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, I
Herman Ted.
Yeah.
Or I can watch it in theaters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to go see the movie so bad. I should go see it tonight after we're done here.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll call Raylene.
All right. Well, you guys keep talking about your recommendations.
No, you were in the middle of yours.
Anyway, I'll just give audiobook. If you've never done an audiobook or you don't like to read, and I mean, obviously, there's a ton of listeners saying, well, obvious audiobooks are good, but I just never. If you're the guy who's like, I don't need an audiobook because I have eyes and I can read. It's fascinating, especially Marth. This is the way they tone changes for characters. Even there's like an English accent for Bob a little bit. And I don't know. It's fascinating.
Well, it's like formally, I recommended LibriVox, the website that's all public domain audiobooks.
Yeah.
Because, I don't have a long commute in general, but when I drove all the way down to Chicago and back like 5-6 times visiting my dad, I mean, that was 20 hours total round tripping. I've got through like 4 novels.
Yeah,
people have been recommending those to me too.
Long road trips to a convention or something.
Well, my work is slowing down, so in the morning I can actually listen to an audiobook while I do some work now.
Yeah,
finally slowing down, thank God. But anyway, that's my recommendation. That's all I got.
My recommendation isn't much. It's a show that's already been this last season has already ended like almost like a month and a half ago. I just finally started watching it because I caught up on my DVR. Was Bates Motel.
You recommended that before.
I have recommended it before, and I continue my recommendation on it.
You're welcome.
That show is especially this last season, really upped the creep factor. It really makes it feel like, you know, now I see Norman Bates.
Yeah.
Because
there's a psycho in there.
Holy cow. It's really well done this season. The first two seasons you could almost ignore. I mean, it still sets up a lot of things leading up to here, but yeah, this last season was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Hannibal's been canceled.
May come back.
May it?
Yeah, there's some things, and there's. I hope it comes back. I love Hannibal. This season, I've recommended Hannibal multiple times. This season of Hannibal, it's always been a little artsy on top of what it's doing. This season's been a little overboard on the artsiness. Like Jordan's like really annoyed with it right now, and I'm like, it doesn't. It's a little too artsy. The story is slowed down. There used to be two themes going on. Like one theme is Hannibal, so it's always a problem. But then it's also like another serial killer. And this season is all about them catching Hannibal.
Is he a lumberjack now?
No, he's not a lumberjack.
Okay.
So it's not like bad in that regards, but it's a little bit too artsy than it should be, in my opinion. It's still fun. They're still.
What season are they in?
Season 3.
Ah, so just like Dexter.
Yes.
Isn't season 3 Dexter like the bad one?
Three and then 7 and 8. I don't. Anyway, but that's
because 4 is amazing.
4 is amazing, and 5's okay. 3's weak, and then 4's godsend.
Yeah,
5's okay, and then it goes down from there. Well, it goes down from 4. It's just that 4 is so good that a step down is still good.
Still enjoy 5, but it is not as good.
I was spoiled very much because my first season
C D F.
My first season into Dexter was season 4.
Season 2 is pretty amazing though.
I've never seen it.
I pulled out of that show, I think, when season 3 started going, I was like, this is ridiculous.
You should watch season 4.
Yeah.
1, 2, 4 should be watched, in my opinion.
Yeah, 1 and 2 are amazing.
You can skip 3. All that happens in 3 is he gets married. I mean.
and then the show goes downhill from there.
Well, four.
No, four is amazing.
Four is amazing.
For me, and it went downhill. Yeah,
that's fair.
So far downhill.
Well, three is downhill. Yeah, three is like, what? Why? Why? What is, what's happening?
Three is like season 2.5 of Walking Dead.
Yeah. Any more recommendation? Anything?
I have one. I have my one recommendation for the week, or you know, as a
Heroes of the Storm.
No, unfortunately, so I haven't bought into that.
Why haven't you?
It's free.
It's free.
Well, I mean, not bought into it, like gave somebody money, but first I have not hopped on that train.
You
but
need to hop. Choo-choo.
I'm so angry because I.
It's the most expensive free game you're ever going to play in love.
The thing is, I had the $40 that Brian gave me, and I could have used it to get pajamas for my Lost Vikings and to get the awesome Desert Queen thing for Zagara, but instead I used it for expansions on Hearthstone that I've never played.
Yep. But now when you play it, you got it there.
But I don't play Hearthstone anymore.
Someday you will.
I should. But on my phone, I play Be Brilliant, and at home, I play Heroes of the Storm. Where am I supposed to play Hearthstone? And on my iPad in bed, I play 80 Days.
Well, start playing Hearthstone.
Okay.
And I moved recently, just like 2 months ago, and I still have yet to pack. I have my computer tower and my screen unpacked and set up, but I have not unpacked the cords that are supposed to hook it up for. So for 2 months, I've just been, I go into my painting gaming room and there it sits. But I've been really productive without my computer, though, I'll tell you that much. At any rate, that kind of circles me back to my...
How do you masturbate?
That's a fair question.
I have a photographic memory.
Okay.
But so there's a for those who are Facebookers, there's a group on there for War Machine Hordes and Painting, or War Machine and Hordes Painting. And normally I'm not a big fan of most of the Facebook groups unless I want to chuckle a bit. But this one's really nice because it's got a lot of a lot of painters that vary from all scales of painting skill, from like, you know, the novice folks to like really high level commission styled painters. And if you ask a question on there, like if you're like, I don't know what to do with these pigments because I've never seen them before, how do they work? Chances are there is somebody out there who will answer that question for you, who either has mastered the use of them or had that same question themselves, and it can at least get you started. So if you're trying to like step your painting game up or just get some support, if your community doesn't support painting too much, it's a really good place to get the your questions answered and inspired by other people's models and other paint jobs. It's just a really neat deal.
And it's painting focused, so it's not like you're asking, well, which model's good? And they go, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, actual just focused discussion.
Mm-hmm. So that's my recommendation for sure.
Oh, okay. Quick question. How are you guys going to jump ship? The Age of Sigmar is coming.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw the pictures for it. I'm like, what? I didn't know what it was because all these round bases. I was so confused. What's happening in this picture?
Fantasy and 40K had a baby, and it's called Age of Sigmar.
Yep.
So confused. I like.
Do they have round bases?
All round bases.
So how do you just like glue them in a rectangle and move them at the same time?
Yeah, how do you rank and file? I don't understand how that works now.
It actually looks like the bases, too, are like, I've only seen a couple angles, but they look like they're the oblong oval ones that Games Workshop has recently adopted. It was the funny thing that I saw on that was, you know, Games Workshop is all about sending witch hounds on people for infringing IP, and their Mantic is another gaming company that has what is it? I can't remember the name of their angelic army. Is it the Basilians? There you go. And so they have winged folks that are models, and then their mounted guys ride big cats, and it's just funny that now the IP is going the other direction, and Games Workshop like, that's a great idea, let's make guys in gold armor with wings and we'll mount the characters on cats, that's gonna be cool.
Well, you know, they thought of it first.
Yeah, they did.
Their idea, son of a bitch.
I'm intrigued by it. I mean, I'll at least when it comes out, I'll check out, talk to the Warhammer guys and see what it looks like. But
a lot of the Warhammer guys
really suck for the people that, you know, again, you have thousands upon thousands of dollars of models that now you're going to have to all rebase to play their new game.
Remember, Games Workshop's motto when dealing with their customer base is very simple. It's go fuck yourself.
Yep.
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 Thank you.
Yeah.
And go fuck yourself. Thank you very much.
Thanks for all the money. Now fuck off. And then they piss in your mouth and then take more money because you keep paying them for the privilege of having them piss in your mouth.
Or you get angry and throw a model away, and then the next time the next time they release it, it's good again, so now you got to rebuy it. But I thought and I don't mean to go on like a, just extend this Games Workshop drivel more, but I thought Age of Sigmar was more of a game unto itself.
If that's what it is, if it's just their own idea of a skirmish game, then I'd be interested.
That's what
in
I thought.
It
was. I am super excited for Warhammer Online, the from Total War Warhammer Online.
Oh yes!
Like if that's done well, I'm going to play the fuck out of that game because that, yeah. Look, I love the Total War.
I didn't play what was their RTS that was based on
Dawn of War.
I didn't play a lot of Dawn of War, but going back further, one of my first PC strategy games that I absolutely loved, it's very XCOM-like, actually, was Chaos Gate.
Yep.
Chaos Gate, I played days worth of Chaos Gate, so fucking much. That was a great game.
Battlefield Gothic is coming out really soon.
Liberation?
They're terrible shitheads. They treat their customers like toilets. Like, they're monsters, and their miniatures games are terribly designed, but the IP is cool. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I'm never going to deny that. As public as I am about my hatred of Games Workshop, a Space Marine is really fucking cool. You know, the orcs, these cockney-accented, technically plant monsters bodging together random scrap metal heaps, that's fucking cool. Tyranids are cool. Like, they're all really cool.
Bow ties are cool.
Forgot to mention that also the orcs are innately psychic as well, because they paint something red and it goes faster and they just make it go faster
because they believe it. Placebo effect.
That was
it's so much coolness to it. Just when good companies harness that coolness to make things like
Fantasy Flight,
but just spin-off games, you know, those are always so well done just because the mythos and it is, like you were saying with the gold guys on cats, it's ironic because as so happy as they are, a lot of their stuff is pretty stolen from cultural mythos. Like, Tyranids are, like, the alien movie. They're aliens. They just took that and ran with it, and that's fine, you know, but aliens are fucking cool.
Well, I thought the big controversy with them in the first place was when you take, like, Imperial Guard and mix them against the Tyranids, you really are just looking at...
You're looking at
Starship Troopers.
So that
was the big thing that I thought.
All their core ideas are influenced by other things, which is fine, but then they get all cocky about their stuff. It's like, you stole all these ideas, that's fine, but you can't claim credit now because you're working on...
Imperial Guard versus Tyranids is Starship Troopers the movie. Mm-hmm. Space Marines versus Tyranids is Starship Troopers the book.
Yeah.
If they were all dreadnoughts,
Now, I the thing that like broke me of 40K when I first like saw it was like the Dawn of War 2, one of their trailers about the Eldar being released, and I saw warp spiders running through the woods and like what they do, animated by the company that made that game, and I'm just like, this is so amazing. Why do these things suck?
Well, yeah, it goes for, I think, the first Dawn of War trailer that showed is just a bunch of, I think, Blood Angels versus Orcs.
Yeah, Blood Angels.
And just a fight scene between them.
Raven Guard, I think.
Yeah. If that scene was just playing at any store that you go to, I'd just be like, I'm
the Warhammer
sold,
Online
done.
Trailer is so goddamn. I watch it every so often because it's such an amazing trailer. It's
a Space Marine game.
Yeah,
space PC the games like Space
They're not
Hulk.
PC. No, I was talking about like the action, Xbox and the PS4
the,
game.
The
yeah.
action yeah. adventure game. Yeah.
Where you get to actually see how a chainsword works.
Yeah.
Yes. Somebody built one of those. I saw a video on Facebook and it was actually
now
a running
jail.
It's a running chain, like a running chainsword.
I think
not like
not
visceral.
A real, but it was like a prop part.
Yeah, it was a prop, but the parts worked and it looked really interesting. It was cool.
All right, then. I think we started off negatively and we ended positively. We found the positive elements of their stuff was when other people work on their stuff.
Their IP is awesome. The people who run it are horrible.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, if you're gay, go get married. It pisses Scott Walker off. He's really angry. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he's so...
He's moving to Canada.
Go fuck yourself.